Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen. No doubt most people today will be talking about the heat. 39 Pittsburgh Public Schools on the excessive heat protocol today means remote learning. And in the next hour, we'll check in with a teacher on how that works.
I wonder if the real feel will cross the 90 degree mark. Probably pretty likely, I would think.
Yesterday it hit 82, but to me it seemed a lot hotter in the afternoon. At one point, 82 doesn't sound that hot, but it felt like it to me anyway yesterday. And
me too.
We're going to be closer to 90 today, the upper 80s. And if we do hit 90, that would be the hottest day of the year. May I suggest to you as a friend and partner, please hydrate, Paul.
I will. I'm going to stay inside. I'm going to get the treadmill out and just do my 30 minutes of walking inside. I don't like walking when it's that hot.
You have to sweat. Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't mind sweating. It's just really uncomfortable.
Well, please hydrate. Pat Septak, our news editor, just want to make sure you've got enough bottled water there.
Oh, he's got a bottle or two stashed under the desk over there. I'm quite sure.
He does. All right, the other peaceful resolution, I think the other story that a lot of people will be happy to hear has ended and they're moving on. University of Pittsburgh campus at the foot of the Cathedral of Learning, one of the most iconic buildings, certainly in the region. About 2 a.m., they were able to settle this protest.
There you have it.
And the third story, I think, is really important because it got overshadowed somewhat yesterday because of what was going on at Pitt, but a really important story out of Penn Hills.
I mean, we've got a mass shooting.
A local community leader speaks out after a shooting at a Penn Hills bar that left two dead and seven injured.
That's our own Tamira Rush, who covered that part of the story and the reaction that continues.
She's talking about Winona Harper, who founded Jamar's Place of Peace. Jamar was her son. He was killed in gun violence back in 2013. She says in her interview with Tamira that gun violence has increased in Penn Hills. Oh, no. Now, come on. There we go.
You got it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm listening to it here, and you're not listening to it there.
Okay. Year alone, we have five homicides up here in reference to this gun violence. And now we had a mass shooting. This is very, very alarming.
Indeed it is. And now we find out that the hookah bar had no liquor license.
Five homicides in Penn Hills is what she's suggesting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say in a lot of communities that gun violence has proliferated over the years, particularly with young, you know, in many cases, teens with stolen guns, too. And it's an issue for everybody in the community.
Ghost guns as well.
Find ways to mitigate this because it's real. And for a lot of people, they say, well, that's not happening in my neighborhood. But I talk to a lot of people, a lot of good people from Penn Hills. We're very upset about what's going on there.
Well, I've been here 20 years, Larry, and I can tell you that I've noticed an increase, a steady, gradual increase. Now, this last weekend is a real blip, but it's still a mass shooting. Nine people in all, seven wounded and two killed.
And it would have been, and again, it was overshadowed somewhat in the morning because of what was going on at Pitt. However, in Akron, Ohio, over the weekend, at a birthday party, there were 25 people shot.
That's right.
And
it was a drive-by.
Right.
There were 200 people at a birthday party, and they think, the police think, that there may have been someone from the crowd firing back at the passing car or truck, whatever it was. And by the way, the story on this shooting in Penn Hills, it happened inside the bar in spite of the fact that they had security at the doors checking for these weapons. And the shooting itself followed a fight. And, I mean, how often do we hear that this is the lead-up to the shooting is a fight of some kind, and people decide to take it to the next level?
You know, one of the things that just keeps circling back for me is a grandmother who lost her grandson to gun violence who said, you know, back in the day, so to speak, people would have arguments, and they would fight, you know, physically, which wasn't good necessarily. However, they might end up being friends.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. How many times do we hear that they wound up being friends?
Yeah, I mean, so it's disturbing. What do you do about it each and every day? That's a question that I think a lot of us ask, and we sit here every morning and report. And you, Paul, you know this better than
anybody
in the city.
Hardly a morning goes by that I don't tell people someone was shot somewhere.
So what is the answer? Don't have the answer, but collectively, we got to try to find one. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. Take us with you. And we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information. And sometimes we've got pirate baseball. How about the Dodgers coming to town tonight? I imagine they'll have a healthy crowd at PNC Park. You got young Jared Jones on the mound for the Pirates.
Tyler Glasnow, who used to pitch for Buccos, is going to be pitching for the Dodgers.
You know what's crazy is the league is littered with former Pirates who have, you know, done well for themselves.
Oh, gosh, yes. They've had a fairly good number of talented youngsters that have moved on. You know, I was looking at Starling Marte's career over the years. He came to the team in 2013. And he's been playing pretty steadily since. His batting average is starting to go down, but he's batting like 300 for a better part of a decade. Awesome.
Yeah, there are a lot of former Pirates who are doing very well. However, there is one former Pirate that is in hot water. This surprised me this morning.
Weeks after superstar Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was implicated in a gambling scandal, a major league player finds himself accused of betting on baseball.
I'm Peter King. Major League Baseball tells CBS Sports a current San Diego Padres infielder is being investigated for gambling on baseball when he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates last year. Wall Street Journal says Marcano bet on games involving the Pirates while he was on the injured list.
That's a no-no.
Pretty much.
If it turns out to be true.
Wow.
He'll be banned. I mean, look, Pete Rose, for all his records and all his, I mean, he's still vilified among Major League Baseball for betting on baseball. That's what he was, that was the real, for Pete Rose, that was the real game breaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if they'd have found out he was betting on other sports, but the fact that he bet on baseball is why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Some people are like, well, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, so interesting tie there where Ohtani's in town and you hear the story on CBS about a former Pirate player who's with the Padres now and I'm guessing not much longer.
No, I would imagine he's going to be doing without the Padres.
You know, coming up a little later, I talked to our morning team on The Fan, Adam Crowley and Doran Dickerson, about what makes Ohtani so special. They believe, and I'll let you hear what they have to say a little later here, they believe he could be the best baseball player of all time. And he used to. Now, right now, he's not able to pitch. For those that don't know, he was a lights-out pitcher and one of the top batters in the league. So he has some injury issue where he can't pitch yet. It's not completely over, but he's just being a baseball player and hitting.
And he can hit the ball as well as he pitches, which is unbelievably rare.
Yeah, that's... If you see this guy, you know what I'm looking forward to is just the matchup with Jared Jones and Ohtani and then Paul Skeens tomorrow night with Ohtani.
I'm hoping that Jared Jones can get back in form. He's been not as strong as he was in the first few games that he pitched.
Yeah, he had an off game last outing, gave up three in the first and struggled.
He settled down for a while, but it was a rocky ride.
And Pirates are having a difficult time, you know, matching their batting with the pitching. You know, they're not getting the hits when they need them, but, you know, they're hanging in there. If they could get a streak going, they'd be right back in the thick of things. And how about this, Paul? We're a month away from 4th of July. We're coming near the half.
Gosh, wow.
That's it. I mean, it's June 4th.
I was thinking the next holiday down, you know, it's not really a holiday officially, but that'll be Flag Day on the 14th. And I just completely ruled out the idea that the 4th of July was that close.
Couple of other historic notes. Today was supposed to be D-Day 80 years ago, but the weather had them hold off the invasion. And officially, the paratroopers started landed on the 5th. And then the whole armada landed on the shores in France on June 6th. Did you see they have about 200 World War II veterans that they've taken to France to be there? Who were part of that armada.
I have been paying attention. They're America's greatest generation. It's quite certainly the last time they'll ever be there. And, but boy, do we owe them.
And if you've ever seen that series, Band of Brothers, which detailed a paratroop, you know, team that went through not only D-Day all the way to Bastogne and to Hitler's Birches Garden to end the war.
Yep.
It's an unbelievable story of human sacrifice and dedication and bravery. I mean,
when can you imagine being on a landing craft?
No.
And the front door going down on the beach and splashing into the water.
And the machine guns
open
up.
While the Germans are throwing everything they've got at you and your friends.
I've met a couple of those men, and you just, it's jaw dropping. And they're so humble about what they did, doing what we had to do. They have a group of paratroopers who are going to drop in the same gear of the era, in the same aircraft of the era. They're going to do this, I believe, tomorrow.
If you want to see an interesting old movie about D-Day, The Longest Day with John Wayne and a cast of unbelievable cast. It's a great show. If you want to learn about that day, that's a great movie to watch.
The Longest Day. I used to love John Wayne movies.
Me too.
All right. You figured that out all by yourself, did you, Paul? This is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us. Going to be a hot one. 82 yesterday. You just heard Joe tell us it's going to be 87, 88 today. So hydrate. I joke about that. What would your doctor tell you? If you could talk to one. There has been a nationwide physician shortage. The average wait time for a doctor's appointment in big cities is 26 days. So what can we do about the doctor shortage? There's a group that thinks they have at least part of a solution. Dr. Natalie Gentile joins us from Direct Care Physicians of Pittsburgh. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You are in demand. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's really the wild, wild west out there, isn't it, with healthcare?
Yeah, it really is, Doctor. As you well know, we've gone through this pandemic, and we're still the residual effects of that. They're even talking about it in Congress yesterday with Dr. Anthony Fauci. But the reality, the practical part of that is it's devastated a lot of healthcare systems. It's caused shortages in nurses and physicians, and I know there are great minds at work to try to find some solutions. So tell us about this plan.
Yeah. So I think one thing to add there as well is, you know, it caused significant shortages, but I think the pandemic also greatly highlighted the significant distrust in healthcare system, right, between doctor and patient, between health systems and healthcare providers, right? So if there's not really the reason you went into medicine in the first place is no longer supported, I think that's furthering the problem. So part of what we do as direct primary care physicians is a very different model of delivering primary care that is, you know, our solution to this shortage in our small community. So direct primary care is a membership-based model of practice. Our patients pay a monthly membership. They have full access to us as their doctors. And one of the big issues we see with this physician shortage is, you know, clinics are very much overwhelmed, right? So docs have patient panels of, in primary care, at least 2,000 to 3,000 people assigned to them. And it's virtually impossible to take care of that amount of people, right? At least not properly, and definitely not in a timely manner. So with direct primary care, most docs have 300 to 600 patients assigned to them. So you can imagine with such a smaller panel, you have docs that actually have control, right? And they have the ability to really, truly care for patients, increase access, decrease use of, you know, specialists, a lot of times ER visits where people unfortunately are using that for their primary care, right? ERs and urgent cares, which is not appropriate resource.
That is 100% true. And I know a lot of people that say, just go to the emergency room, even though it's not technically an emergency.
Correct. Yeah. So we see, inappropriate resource utilization.
You know, I talked to a couple that are lifelong Pittsburghers. They recently moved because of their children to just outside of Virginia Beach. And they said that their number one issue is they kind of took for granted the level of health care we have in this region compared to they couldn't get to see a doctor for months.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's happening here in Pittsburgh, too. I think because we have, you know, a big box health system on every corner, it seems like we've got pretty good, you know, access, and we do probably compared to other cities in that way. But nevertheless, you know, so many patients that end up coming to my practice say the same thing. I could never get in to see somebody, let alone see the same person, right? And I think when it comes to non-acute issues, so if we in primary care, what we call health maintenance or continuity of care based on people's chronic diseases, that requires seeing the same person if possible, right? And having that long-term relationship. When you're not retelling your story seven times, you're more likely to get somebody who's seeing your bigger picture. And we're losing that now, right? When you're going to see team-based care where you're seeing different people each time, you're losing that continuity, which is another major issue.
Yeah, they don't know you, and you're right. You feel once you get a relationship with a physician that you're happy with, you don't want to lose that. You kind of cling to that. Then it becomes really difficult, maybe in a lot of cases, especially if they're really good, because a lot of people want the same thing, right?
Yes.
But that model is a lot more difficult and challenging for a lot of people. So tell us about physician assistants. Who are they? They're not doctors, but they are highly trained. And they can offload a lot of these kinds of things that people come to the doctor's office for.
Sure. So allied health staff, and mid-levels can be definitely an asset to a healthcare team when working in conjunction with a physician. The training is drastically different between these two types, these two categories, physicians and physician's assistants, as far as the amount of years, right, that you're going through training before you're actually out on your own. But absolutely a physician's assistant who's trained really to work together with a physician and a team can be incredibly beneficial to increase that access. What needs to happen, though, is we need more physicians, right? Because in the end, the buck stops at the physician.
Right.
Right. And the decision making in the end, always and liability come back to the physician. If we don't have highly trained physicians leading teams, we are still not fixing the issue. You might be increasing access, but are we increasing quality of care and safety? I don't know. You know, that's going to have to bear out. And that doesn't have to do with physicians' assistants not providing that. But if you have people who are trained with enough experience, that will increase our quality of care, right? Regardless of what level of training they have.
So you must feel quite a burden because, again, as a physician, you're in tremendous demand, especially even strangers that meet you at a social party or outing. They're like, oh, doc, while I got you, take a look at this.
I do
this,
a lot
right?
of curbside health care.
And I get that. So are we going to be able to make some strides here? Are we going to be able to the answer is more physicians, but if you don't got them, what do you do?
Yeah, so it's both an it's a problem of increasing the number in the first place, right? So influx. We also have an issue of outgoing, right? So we have an aging physician population that are nearing retirement. And so we're going to have a problem of them leaving. It's also an issue of sustainability. And the current traditional insurance-based healthcare model is not sustainable for physicians. When you're told you need to churn and burn 25 to 40 patients through in a day and then come home to an inbox full, right? Like, that is not sustainable. And so we're going to have docs leaving for that reason as well. Healthcare needs to become what it used to be, which is the respect and trust between doctor and patient, the two-way street of that, and creating an environment that doctors actually feel safe, supported, and the art of medicine comes back, right? When those things start to happen, more people are going to want to go into medicine again, right? But can you imagine what's the pull right now? What's the driver to go into medicine when you're going to come out 200 grand in debt at minimum from medical school into an environment right now that is not supporting your job?
Not to mention the challenges of paying for the education for that.
Yes, correct.
Well, Doc, we will follow up, as you would say to patients.
I would love that.
Let's follow up. Thanks for your time. Fascinating, and appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Dr. Natalie Gentile, who is a direct care physician of Pittsburgh here in their group, I invite you to check out more details. We'll have a link at kdkradio.com.